Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here as we gather for worship. Send a special welcome to anyone who may be visiting today. If it is your first time here, we send a special welcome to you. And we invite everyone to stay after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right beside. Those of you who came in the back door might have noticed that the playground equipment is almost all gone. The equipment is gone. There's still a few pipes and brackets that are still buried in the ground that they couldn't get up easily, even with a jackhammer. So they will be back another day to work on those, and then the fence will be coming down as well. And then it will be our turn to have that, to get the trees out and convert it into parking spaces. We're very grateful to the Second Baptist Church in Lebanon, Maine, that purchased the equipment. And Michael, how many, 14 people?
I think 14.
About 14 men and boys were here yesterday working from about 9:30. Well, they got started about 10 until they left just before 4. And worked pretty much all the time. The only time they took a rest was when they blew the circuit breakers and we had to go find the circuits. And they weren't, it wasn't the circuit that was labeled the circuit, so we had to, it was the fourth panel we went to we find the, Michael finally found the right circuit. But anyways, it's so the playground is being transformed. But if you didn't notice, you might want to look out there as you leave today. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin, the calendar for this week, and we are in summer mode. There are not, other than Bible study, there are no other special boards or committees or activities planned for this week. But there is an insert in your bulletin. One side is the shopping list for the housing families' backpacks, back-to-school supplies for the children that are in their program. And deadline for donating those items is next Sunday so that we can get those to housing families because they want them that week, so that they can prepare the backpacks for their people, and they'll also know if there are things they need to purchase, they'll be able to go out and get those things. We have been requesting that if you are able to make a donation and you purchase something, that you either leave the you put the receipt with it or put a note on it approximately how much money you spent so that Marilyn can report that, because Housing Families asks us to let them know, because then they have to report in their grant writing and everything how much money has been donated for these different fundraisers that they have. The reverse side of the insert is a reminder of our yard sale that's being held at the church here on Saturday, August 12th from 10 to 3 in the parking lot. If you want to donate some items, that's fine. If you want to rent a space with a table to sell your own items for your own profit, you may do that as well. That cost is $20. I think there's only been one or two people, I think, so far that have expressed interest on selling their own things. I've heard other people say, oh, we want to do this. So it's like, hurry up, folks. Time is coming. If you have any questions, contact Steve Butland about that. And his contact information is there. Also, out in the hallway, there is a sign-up sheet for greeters and social hour hosts for August. And as of a few minutes ago, it was entirely empty. So if you would like to be a greeter or a social hour host, you have a free rein as to which Sunday you'd like to do that in August. So please do sign up so that we do have those volunteer items covered. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 213 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from Luke 4. And those who are at Bible study on Tuesday may recognize these words. We sort of looked at these words on Tuesday as well. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside.
He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him.
He went to Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor.
He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners,
and recovering of sight for the blind,
to release the oppressed,
to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them,
"Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
All spoke well of him.
They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips.
We are here to worship Christ this day, and our opening hymn is Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, number 214, just the next page. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Together. We gather as followers and seekers of Jesus Christ to praise you, O God, and to seek your will for our lives. Interrupt our busyness and quiet our distractions, that we may enter fully into your presence and find refreshment for the parched places of our souls. We ask this in the name of the one who offers living water and who breaks the darkness, Jesus Christ. We join in praying as he taught. So we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. And I neglected to welcome Irene earlier, but Irene Hoffman is our substitute pianist today and also our soloist, so she's multi-talented and will be singing and playing at the same time as she provides some special music for us now. Thank you.
down to share celebrations and concerns with the church family. We go to prayer. And we want to continue to remember Helen Flea. I spoke with Helen this week, and Helen wants to be remembered to the church family. And thank you for your cards and calls and cards and visits and all those things of remembering her. She's doing better. She's still adjusting to being on oxygen all the time, but does have a portable unit now, so it's a little less cumbersome than it was before, but still feels a little frustrated. And Paul Patriot was planning to be able to go home from rehab this week, and I'm presuming that did take place. Also, Joan Racine, I announced that she had not been taken out last Sunday. She is back at home. And Beverly Sandberg, who's been in rehab, is now back at her assisted living home in Charlestown. So we want to keep those folks family members as well. We want to keep her in prayer as well. I know, Richard, you have a celebration. You and Dylan Murray have a celebration today.
We made a fast trip to Niagara Falls, Ontario, Friday, and our granddaughter was married at 6 o'clock that evening to a young man from Edmonton, Alberta, who is originally from Jamaica. We met his parents, and we just had a lovely time. And came home yesterday in time to see the end of the playground.
So has anybody else had a report?
An update, Ralph, last week we prayed for him. He's still in ICU, but he's doing fabulous for us. And the second one, unfortunately, another day for Florida, is having some very serious tests tomorrow.
But he goes, those friends who have been in prayer and the new ones being in prayer for serious medical tests and something else is in ICU, but it's doing much better than that.
I have several. Continued prayers for my girlfriend's daughter who had surgery and my niece who just had surgery. And a belated celebration for my younger son Doug who just celebrated 10 years.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So Douglas and Rachel will be married 10 years.
Yes.
Wow, a long time. So it is a belated celebration. Also want to keep your brother in prayer.
Yes.
And Barbara, I saw your hand. Okay.
Well, my son's Paul. Dale and Jim and his wife Kathy are in British Columbia on vacation. However, my daughter-in-law, Dale Falsworth, was taken ill yesterday. So I'm pretty concerned. She's fine now. But I am concerned I'll be left with her home. Just at the end of the week.
Well,
you can
for their vacation, they're also the illnesses.
Yes.
They can hold it on time. Peggy?
I'm four. They're short. Once for Claire in Florida, once for my sister-in-law in Florida, once for my niece Dale, and once for Phyllis.
Peggy mentioned this morning that Phyllis said he was beginning to feel her age. Which is what, 97?
99.
Well, she's a kid. Well, either we want to keep Phyllis, and you know, she would love to have a card or a call or a visit anytime. Just as beginning.
Yeah, she's still asking them to take her. She's ready.
Yeah.
What are they? Do you know, it's 2 years since we go to this year.
2 years. Family and prayer.
I'd like to strengthen the U.S. for us. It's school and college and anxiety levels are starting to rise again.
Before school even started,
yes.
Just the preparation.
Yes.
That's not just students, but also teachers, educators, administrators, the whole thing. Sometimes the students it's the faculty as well, and administration as well. But they do a lot during the summer getting ready for their students' return. So I heard that prayer request. Anyone else have a prayer request? Not that. Let's go to God with some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Thank you. we thank you for these moments that we have on this Sunday morning during the service to share celebrations and concerns with one another, and then spend a few moments together in conversation with you in private and also collectively this morning. And Lord, we do pray that your Spirit would be within each of us and moving among us this day, that we may be blessed by you for having been here, for having been with those who have come today, that we may be touched by that and maybe leave here as different people. Lord, we lift up to you those that we mentioned by name and relationship, especially those who are ill today, and pray for healing taking place in their lives according to your will. We've heard of celebrations for those that have been very ill and are still recovering. Others who have been at rehabilitation and are able to go to their residences. But Lord, we also know others that are undergoing treatment and others that may be facing rehabilitation or surgery. And Lord, we just lift all of them up to you now. Just pray for your healing spirit to be with them. Pray for healing, again, though, according to your will for them. We also lift up those who are remembering a loved one today who may have passed, but others who may be in that process for a loved one who is passing. And again, we pray for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with them as anniversaries are recognized, as the process is taking place, as goodbyes are said. Lord, we just pray that you are preparing a home for our loved ones who are in that dying process, to welcome them to their eternal home with you. Lord, during the summer, we are conscious of vacations. We pray for those that are on vacation, especially those that may be traveling, or they may have safe journeys, but also a time of rest and relaxation while they are away. They may return refreshed and rejuvenated by another year. And we also pray for those that may be going to summer camp, pray for especially for those that are on air wraps, brought with ocean movement, that the campers may have a special encounter with you during those weeks. They may sense your presence in new ways. They may, for some of them, may meet you for the first time in the camp setting. Lord, we pray for the counselors and the staff that are working there. We pray for each of the campers that come each week come to camp to be in a different setting, very different from what they may have at home, but also to learn about you and to encounter you and lift them up to you. Lord, we also do pray for our educational system that is absent. We pray for students as, while they're on vacation right now, they're about halfway through summer break, beginning to, you know, get ready for the new school year. Not only students, but we do pray for the teachers that are working on lesson plans, maybe year-long plans for what they'll be teaching each week. Lord, we also pray for the administrators that are registering new children and students, and also preparing for the new school year. You know that we think the school year is only 9 months for, but we know really that it's a 12-month process. We just pray for those that are working the summer in preparation for another year. Lord, we pray for those that may have graduated and are looking for a job or starting a new part of schooling. Just pray for them as well. We thank you, Lord, that we have minds that can learn from that. We pray for those also that are starting new jobs and are doing this new time of transition. Just pray that they may recognize that you are a God of constancy, continuity, while their lives may be going in flux, that you are always there for them. We thank you, God, that you are there for us as well when we feel that we are being tossed and turned. We feel that we may be being pulled apart, that you are there to stabilize our lives. Lord, remind us of that when we feel that we have nowhere to turn. Call out to us when we seem to have deaf ears, that we may always, always turn towards you. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your gift of your presence in our lives. We offer all of this to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Worship him. many different ways. We have an opportunity to continue in worshiping by praising God and thanking God through our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Give God back what was.
You may be seated. And Cindy Huddy is our lead reader for today, and we'll be reading the scripture.
The scripture today is taken from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes God's messenger, because he is God's messenger, will share in his reward. And whoever welcomes a good man because he is good will share in his reward. You can be sure that whoever gives even a drink of cold water to one of the least of these my followers, because he is my follower, will certainly receive a reward. Thus endeth the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Cindy. Let's pray together. Lord, we have heard these short passages of scripture this morning, words of Jesus to his followers and to those gathered around, instructions of how to care for one another. And Lord, we know that you have called us to be that, to be carers for one another, to be your representative in the world. Lord, we pray this day that as we continue in our worship, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living as we strive to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Depending on what version of scripture you read, whoever gives even a cup of cold water or cool water to one of the least of these little ones, or to one of these, or my followers, again, depending on which version you're reading, because he is my follower, will certainly receive a reward. A cup of cool water, or cold water, again, depending on the translation, is a great refresher and a thirst quencher on a warm summer day. Many of us may not think much about water, but those in developing countries consider it a luxury to have fresh, clean water to drink and to use. I know some folks who do not like to drink water. You know, they just tell me they don't like the taste of it. I do like water. I prefer mine ice cold, whether it's in my thermos most of the time or, you know, and I pack today, so there's still ice in the cup. Sometimes the ice melts before I get to it, but you know, I like it like nice and cold. When we were here yesterday, Michael came in and got some pitchers of water with ice in it. And eventually the ice melted. Obviously the water was still there through the afternoon. And I knew what I was preaching on today, and I was thinking, I drunk some ice-cold water out of my thermos, which was in my car, and I had some of the water that was in the playground, which was just as good, but it wasn't as cold. And I was thinking about this. In fact, a couple of the men asked me, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I said, cold water. He said, now what are you preaching on? I said, cold water, a cup of cold water. He said, really? I said, yes, really. I said, a very good life illustration that came out. While it was refreshing, and yes, it did quench the thirst, it just didn't seem to be quite as good as ice cold would have been. I didn't get to the ice part. They got to the ice part before I got out there. But I know others who prefer to have their beverage cool, or at least room temperature, or even warmed. And I read recently that in some areas of the world it's considered rude and the height of insensitivity to give a guest a cup of cold water. They believe guests should receive a cup of hot steaming water. Apparently Jesus did not live by that custom. For in today's scripture, as he's giving final instructions to some of his followers, as he is sending them out on their mission, out to the mission field, he uses the term cool or cold, depending on who's translating it. Jesus didn't have to add that word. He could have just said, have easily said, a cup of water. Give them a cup of water. But he specified that it should be, the temperature should be cool. We may not think that's a very big deal. since we can obtain cold water almost whenever we want it. At home, it's easy to take cubes out of the refrigerator, out of the freezer, and get cold water. You may have an apparatus in the freezer that you just stick your glass there, and the ice comes out, the water comes out, and it's nice and cold. Or you may keep a bottle of water in the refrigerator so that you will have, you know, refrigerated water all the time. At work or at school, refrigerated water fountains and water coolers are everywhere. If we sit down in a restaurant, even though it's not quite as prevalent as it used to be, a glass of cool water often appears. Drinking cold water, though, was a rare pleasure in biblical times, and they didn't have ice water. It didn't happen very often when they got to drink cool water, and when it did, I'm sure it probably tasted very good to them. Drinking cold water meant that someone went to a lot of trouble for you. If you got a glass of cool water during the biblical times, someone had done a lot of effort, not because they had, you know, made ice for you, but running water hadn't been invented, of course, and nor had refrigeration. So a household's water supply came from the village well. It started out cool in the early morning when someone, who usually was the women or the girls of the house, walked to the well with a clay jar, filled it, and came staggering back. You know how much a gallon of water weighs, right? Imagine putting several gallons of that on your head in a clay jar and walking back to your house. Taking the jar off your head and putting it in a shady spot in your home, the coolest part of the house, trying to keep the water as cool as possible for as long as possible. But after hours went by, that water lost its cool, crisp, fresh from the well taste. I think any of us know that if we put a glass of water out at night by our bed, we get up in the morning and it doesn't taste as good as it did the night before. Nothing's happened to it. It's still H2O. Chemically, it's still the same thing. But it just doesn't taste as fresh as it did when we drew the water the night before. By late afternoon, the time that most thirsty dinner guests were likely to arrive at someone's home, a person would receive what we might consider lukewarm water. For by that time of day, a room in the first century Palestinian home where thick walls delayed the temperature changes but couldn't stop the changes. Just like I tell folks that it takes about 3 days for the temperature in the church building to change from warm to cold or cold to warm, for the cold air to get in the fall, or in the summer for the hot air to seep in. But then it takes another 3 days unless we don't have a lot of windows that open to get it aired out. So imagine a Palestinian home that, you know, had thick walls but still had open doorways. And so that the air, even on a daily basis, would change. Rather than 3 days, it would, within a day, there'd be a cycle of the 24 hours. And so by late afternoon, if you were going as a guest to someone's home, the water that they were serving you, if it had been collected in the morning, probably was not very cool at all, because that was the hottest time of the day as well. If someone brings a cup of cold water to one of these little ones that Jesus talked about, it means that the person gets up, runs to the well, and comes back with fresh, cool water from the well. A special trip made with a special effort for honored guests. It's not a small thing at all. And drinking cold water was healthier than drinking water that had been sitting around all day. Today's refrigerated water supply from a water cooler or drinking fountain is plentiful. Most of us take it for granted, but we've forgotten something important, something our ancestors would have known all too well. These familiar appliances, if you want to call them that, as far as refrigerated fountains and water coolers, arose out of a pressing need, the need for sanitary drinking water in cities where typhoid was an ever-present scourge. In fact, that's the reason the first drinking fountains were developed, as a matter of disease prevention. And today, the craze is personal water bottles, either disposable or refillable. Everyone is encouraged to consume more water throughout the day, especially in the summer, to keep our bodies adequately hydrated. Today's brief scripture, only two verses long, concludes chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, which is entirely devoted to Jesus' parting instructions to his disciples just before they are sent out on a mission trip. And he's telling them in these chapters to preach the word, heal the sick, cast out demons, and generally to convince everyone that they meet that both the love and the judgment of God are a lot closer than they think. The time is coming. There was an urgency to their message. If you've ever left home on a major undertaking, perhaps going off to college, entering the military, or moving away for a new job, for example, it may have been that whoever you left behind had a few parting instructions to offer. If you had a mother on the scene, very likely she was the one to dispense some of this advice, such as, make sure you don't go out of the house in the winter without a hat and a scarf. Never mix whites and colors in the washing machine. Don't give in to peer pressure. Remember, you carry our name, so everything will reflect back on us that you do. Always wear clean underwear in case you end up in the emergency room. Oh, that one hit a chord. Jesus' advice to his disciples is of a different order. These are true believers on a mission, bringing the good news of the gospel to a hurting world. But his word to them in part is parting advice all the same. He tells them, preach and teach and heal with boldness. If the people in one village want nothing to do with you, don't waste your time there. Move on to the next village. Travel light. Pack nothing. Yeah, very little. Just what you can wear, basically. Don't carry a big money bag with you. You need to rely on those whom you encounter. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Trust God to give you the right words. In the nick of time, it will happen. Jesus continues, when things get really bad, and they will, people may even hate you. Even your own relatives may hate you. Remember, they can kill the body, but not the soul. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. With these and similar words of wisdom, Jesus equips his followers for their bold, risky, and momentous journey. They're going to be advanced men and advanced women for the coming reign of God. Having shared the last item in this long list of parting instructions, we can imagine Jesus turning to go away. It's like, I've done my duty. But just then he stops and he adds one more thing. That one more thing is found in today's scripture about offering the cup of cool water to these little ones or to these disciples. And if you are familiar with the scripture that where it's been translated as these little ones, we may be wondering, well, who are these little ones that should be getting this cool water? And as Cindy read from the Good News Bible and some other more modern contemporary translations, they've answered that question for us, because they translate, instead of little ones, they translate it as these followers. They've already done the translation for us. So Jesus is saying, it's referring to the disciples that he is sending out. It's out of concern for their welfare that he turns to the larger crowd and addresses them as though they were surrogates for the whole population of Judea. Jesus has just been warning the disciples about what a tough world it is out there and how they're going to be spurned and rejected in some villages. But in others, they will receive wonderful, spiritually uplifting hospitality. They'll never know what's in store for them. They've just got to go there and find out, trusting God every step of the way. But then Jesus gives the larger population fair warning. He expects something from them as well. For he says, if you welcome me, you welcome God who sent me. If you welcome a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. If you welcome a righteous person, you receive the same reward righteous people receive. Then he offers his encouragement about giving a cup of cool water to those little ones, his followers. There's a sense of reciprocity in Jesus' words. The disciples are going out to share the greatest gift in the world, the good news of salvation. And they're offering it for free. It's a gift. There's no strings attached. They're not parking someplace and charging an admittance fee. They're not even passing the offering plate. It's free words that they're offering to people. Some people they meet will spurn them, throwing the gift back in their face. Others will accept it, but let it drop as soon as they move on, like handbills littering citywide streets. Some will say, okay, here, drink from this old clay water jar if you still want it this time of day. But then every once in a while, someone will say, here, this is for you, a cup of cool water. I just went to the well and got it for you myself. So many gifts in this world are given according to the ordinary assessment of human values. If we think about, if we reach out to someone, do we evaluate, do they really need it? Are they worthy of it? There's merely a positive restatement of the ancient criminal code that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You take care of me, I'll take care of you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You do something that's deserving, and you'll get what you deserve. A cup of ordinary water from the household jar is all that anyone's entitled to. Cool water goes beyond entitlement. That's special. When we think about entitlement for just a moment, that's a big word right now. It's a touchy subject because there's been a lot said that we live in an entitlement society. And if we listen to the political debate these days, that's about all we hear. Whether it's public employees' pensions on the state level or Social Security and Medicare benefits in Washington, or whatever some struggling nation deserves to be bailed out for its monetary crisis, it's all about entitlement. Do they deserve it? Do they warrant it? Any tax debate is about entitlement. For many, tax deductions are but another way to deliver entitlements to certain people. And as Congress battles over the Affordable Care Act, we see millions of people who may lose the entitlements they currently have for health care. Our sense of entitlement extends even to our charitable actions. Isn't it true that much of the help we're inclined to offer to the needy assumes that these poor unfortunates are not entitled to or worthy of the help? Sometimes it's like we may want to walk by and say, I don't think you're worthy. We might think, and maybe no one in this room would, but I'm sure there are some people that would think this way. Okay, Mr. Panhandler, if you're really thirsty, I've got a half-empty bottle of water here. I've been drinking from it all day, but don't worry though, it's still good. It's a little warm because I've been sitting in the car all day in the hot sun. But don't worry about those crumbs that are floating in it. That's for my lunch. They won't hurt you. Have a nice day. You're asking for water? Here's water. Is that the type of water that we want to give? Because we don't think the person's entitled to anything better? Cups of cool water may not be as common today as we may think. In fact, they may just be as rare today as they were in Jesus' time. In today's scripture, Jesus is teaching us, as well as his followers, that living a faithful and complete life is all about those trips down to the well to fetch a cup of cool water, not for ourselves, but to give to somebody else. We are all alike in our thirst. We are all alike in our need. And the only person who can quench that thirst is the one who offers not just ordinary water, but living water that lasts for eternity. And we have the awesome opportunity of sharing that cup of cool water with others. Let's pray together. Now, O Lord, increase our faith, renew our courage, and by your Spirit, make us victors over the things that beset us and set us back. Help us to give our utmost to the highest. May your blessing rest upon all who give cups of cool water to others because they belong to Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Fill My Cup, Lord, number 458. Loving God continue to hold us in the hollow of his hand. May the cool living water that Christ provides quench our spiritual thirst and provide us refreshment for our times of difficulty. As we speak of God's love to other thirsty souls, may God's Holy Spirit work within them that they may discover the peace that passes all understanding. Amen.